Mr. Henderson, Reel 2. We were talking about the Home Guard, Mr. Henderson,
yes.
And how it was, you know, made up of various companies and so forth. Who was the overall commander?
The overall commander, I think, was a man called, in my particular platoon, it was a man that had a steelworks in Darlington called Phil Summerson. There's a big house at the bottom of the street. Phil Summerson had on Albert Hill in Darlington. Do you remember the Summerson steel foundry? Well, that was him, Mr. Phil Summerson. He was in charge. He couldn't dress properly in battle dress. You know, you put your gaiters on and you turn them over. Well, he's never wear them. Were just sort of wrapped. It was a funny sort of a chap, but he was a nice chap. Too nice, really, to be an officer. We had other officers. One was a chap that had a milk round, Mr. Rain, and he was, I think, Mr. Summerson was a major. Oh, and one of the chaps that was overall was one of the county school masters. He was a major. I can't remember us having a colonel. I can't remember ever seeing a colonel. But we had the chap from the two men from the county school, teachers, who were majors, and then there was Captain Summerson, and there was a captain that was a milkman, Mr. Rain, who we were mostly concerned with. And they were very, very nice. And then we had, of course, the sergeants. We had a chap that owned the sawmill where the Glaxo is here. Mr. Lamb, Harry Lamb, was an officer. And a couple of the chaps that worked for him were, of course, sergeant and a corporal. And the sergeant was quite a good shot. And I remember one Sunday morning, we used to go shooting at the other side of the river. There were some rifle ranges that's been there since the First World War, Deepdale. And it was 500, 600 yards. We fired 500, but mostly 200 yards. And we were having a pool bull, or a pool shoot. It was sixpence. There was 40 of us, that's right. There was 40 people. And it worked out that you each put sixpence in. And the prize, of course, was a pound. There's 40 sixpences in a pound. And so when it was a dull, misty morning, drizzly sort of a morning, and me and Sergeant Smith each got 17. And so we said, but I'd had to borrow sixpence from a friend because I didn't have the sixpence to put into the kitty. So from a friend, my friend Reuben. So they said, what are you going to do? Are you going to take the money? Are you going to shoot again? So my friend Reuben said, we're going to take the money. So we got 10 shilling each. Mr. Smith and myself got 10 bob, and I had to share it with Reuben, so I got 5 shilling for the shoot. But that shooting held me in good stead, because when I got into the army proper, I was on the rifle team and fired at Berlin and Ruhleben and was robbed out of the prize there, but that might come later.
Still on the subject of the Home Guard, were basically the men in it either very young like yourself and those too old for the army?
I would think mostly they were older. Although one or two of the men, there was a chap called Mr. Ridsdale, was a corporal. He joined up and was killed. Fred Ridsdale, very, very nice chap. But there were predominantly older people that were in it permanently. Not so many younger ones. We learned the spigot mortar. We had the scout hut was turned into a training hut for the Home Guard. And we had sergeants, regular sergeants, coming from the Durhams, at one from Bransworth. Used to come regular and take us in drills and training. And we also went to shoot at Whitburn. There were some ranges at Whitburn, right on the seafront. I remember being taken there once to shoot, where all the Home Guard came together that particular day. I think it was a competition. But we learned quite a lot of training, a lot of different items. Especially that spigot mortar was very, very interesting. We also got aircraft recognition. All round the hut we had the aircraft things. We didn't do radio or anything like that because they cost money. We didn't have any. I remember when we first got the old battle dress, me and Reuben was also in it. although he'd give a false age, he was only 15. And we took our battle dress to the army people that the camps weren't built then, so they were stationed in old mills and old buildings. The army were there, and we took it, our battle dress, to get it changed, to get two that were the same colour. You always got the jacket that was a different colour from the trousers. And anyway, we eventually got fixed up. And on Sunday nights, the army had a concert, and we used to dress up in our Home Guard uniform and the letters in to the army concerts. We, Georgie Wood, and people, artists used to come to entertain the troops. And being Home Guard, we were allowed in. It was great. We were very proud to be part of the army.
Over a period of time, did that you, again, become quite smart and well-drilled and so forth?
Our boots were pulled up as good as any of the army. We were smart, and our leather belts were also highly polished. We were smart, some of us, especially the younger ones.
Watching Dad's Army on the television, is there anything there which reminds you of your own day?
There's a lot like it. They might make fun of it, but there was a lot of good... There was a lot of laughs and good camaraderie. I remember one particular night when there was supposed to be paratroops that come down in these woods, and in our local woods here, and we spent all night surrounding the wood. We were very near to each other. The whole area was, in case anyone tried to get out. We weren't allowed to go in. It was useless in the dark. But we were, and then we had to finish at 8 o'clock in the morning. We had to go home, get washed and changed, and then go to work. But that was the only night we were out all night. Of course, I thought we'd have the day off, but no, we had to turn out for work the following day.
You mentioned that the rifle you had, what was it like as a weapon?
Very good. It was a better rifle, I thought, than the Canadian, the shortly Enfield, because it had an aperture backsight, which came up, you know, and you slid it up to the... It had an aperture backsight, And the front sight had a guides or protectors. Well, if you put those protectors fitted into your aperture, you couldn't miss, because that thing was right in the middle, and you really couldn't miss. I was a natural shot, so I suppose some people could miss, but I couldn't.
What other equipment did they give you?
We just got a bayonet, of course, rifle and bayonet and scabbard. Belt, trousers, gaiters, boots, hats. The hats were the Glengarry type of thing. Not the Glengarry, the
fore and aft.
Fore and aft kind of thing. The badge, we wore the Durham badge. Overcoat. That's about it, I think. We didn't have any equipment sort of packs. I don't remember us having any packs, which I'm surprised we didn't. You know, looking back, we never thought about it, but we didn't have any packs.
Being in effect attached to the Durham Light Infantry, what pace did you march at?
At the Durham pace.
At the fast pace?
Yes. We went to Durham. Once we went to Durham, and it was a weekend. I think it was just a weekend. But I remember us coming from church parade at the pace, and we liked that pace. young people, we were like short steps, and we could carry on, and we didn't worry at all. In fact, we were as young, we were pushing the old ones on a bit, just for fun. But I liked the Home Guard.
Did you feel that you could face an enemy if he arrived?
Oh, I think so. Yes, we were proud of our of being in, and you know, and we could shoot. And a boy of, as it's proved in this day and age, young boys can kill just as well as men. In fact, we did face the Hitler Jugend in Normandy, and they were hard, you know. They can kill a rifle in the hands of a boy, it can kill just as easy as a man.
How often did you meet during the week?
Every week, Thursday night, every Thursday night. And then we had... Some nights we were there all night. Every night there was somebody on duty all night. And then I think it was about every 10 days you were in there all night, and every three or four nights you were out in the early morning to go down to watch the skies, you know. But imagine boys of today of 16 riding about the town with 50 rounds of ammunition and a 303 rifle. It doesn't bear thinking about. But it was just a norm in those days. Oh, and a steel, and we got a tin hat as well, steel helmet.
You mentioned the fact that the army soldiers came to drill you.
Yes,
army
yes.
Came to drill you.
Frightened us to death.
Did you practice with the army at all?
We had a scheme with the army. We went on schemes with the army, not very often, but we could be the enemy or they were the enemy and things like that. But we never really knew what was happening. We weren't good enough to know what they kept it to themselves. Yes.
And you said, I think it was after a year that you went into the fire brigade.
Yes. Before that, I was a dispatch rider. Me and the boss I worked for, one of the chaps, the major at the county school teacher, had a little bike, a moped thing, and I was lent that to be a dispatch rider. And the other chap, my friend, had a little two-stroke, a little post office type bike, and we were both dispatch riders. But that was later on, you know. And I didn't have that long because I had to leave to join the fire brigade.
As a dispatch rider, where did you carry your dispatch?
I don't think we ever did. I can't remember us ever carrying any dispatch. I don't think we had a pouch or anything. We're just dispatch riders. But it gave us a chance to learn how to ride a motorbike. I think that was all that was concerning us. And we rode them all, you know, more than we should have done. We took them home and played about in the evenings. And we shouldn't have been, you know.
As part of your training, which I hadn't mentioned, did you do route marches?
Yes, we went. I remember one particular route march was a terrible thing, up to Middleton. The other side of Middleton in Teesdale one Sunday, starting early in the morning. And how we got back that night, I was absolutely shattered. And I'll never forget that. That was the longest route march we'd ever done. And I never forgot it.
Coming out of the fire brigade, you said about after a year, as I say, you joined the fire brigade, and you've mentioned the shifts and hours that you worked.
I was 17.
Did you get involved in any fires at all?
Oh, yes, quite a lot. The last fire I did before I joined the army, I volunteered for the army at 18 because I was wanting to be off. It was at Walworth Castle, near Darlington, where the Durhams were stationed. And I don't know whether you're allowed to swear on this tape or not, but but the major was trapped up in one of the upper window, up one of the upper rooms, and we had the ladders, the chaps had the ladders up to get him out, and the troops were shouting, "Let the old bastard burn!" But of course we didn't, we weren't allowed to do that. And I was first on the scene. I had a furniture van with a canvas tank with a steel frame, canvas tank full of water. This was what they called first aid, and a little red hose reel. And they used to say that, and a little pump, that the first gallon of water on a scene was worth 500 gallons half an hour later, or minutes later. So I drove this furniture van, and I was at Darlington Fire Station then. We did a week in Darlington, 2 weeks in Barnard Castle, then another week in Darlington, to give the Darlington men a week's rest, because you had all the steelworks at Middlesbrough, and you had all the chemical works, the RCI at Billingham, and then we used to do down at the aerodrome at Thirsk. We were down there one night, a bomber came down on some houses, and we were there using foam to put the fire. It came right down on one of our bombers had come down. I think it was one of ours. Halifax, it was a Halifax bomber. So we saw quite a lot of action, and we did a lot of training. The first night I joined the fire brigade, the leading fireman was just one shift. There was five of us on duty. And they said, "Right, or sit by the telephone, and let us know, wake us up if anything happens." So I sat there all night, you know, and one of the other chaps said, did you sleep all right? I said, I've never been asleep. I've been listening to the telephone. Well, who told you that? I said, Mr. Watson, Leading Fireman Watson. He said, you take no notice of him. He said, he's just having you on. So I lost a night's sleep over that for nothing. It was experience. Didn't do it again. And we had an Austin tender. I was a driver at 17. An Austin tender with a little Coventry Climax pump on the back. You towed it. And then when you got to a fire, you had the drill. And number one and three will take out the lid every couple up, and so on and so forth, which is, I can still rhyme off to this day. And then you had the tyre changing drill. You could change your tyre, a wheel, in a minute and a quarter, or a minute and 58 seconds, or something like that. On the way to a fire, you had the two- and three-man ladder drills, and all kinds of drills. And a lot of polishing, all the brass work to polish on the pumps and things, when you were in the station in your spare time. And then you had ropes to learn, all different kinds of knots, the fireman's chair and the round turn and two half circles, and all the different knots you had to learn. Very, 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 very exciting. They were exciting days for young boys. I feel sorry for the boys today that don't have this. They don't have the excitement and the... It was marvellous. They were marvellous days. I wish I could live them again.
What was the uniform of the fire brigade in those days?
Well, it was a black trousers, plain black trousers, and a long, heavy black jacket with double breastings. And the overcoat was an army overcoat, but navy blue, again with silver buttons, exactly the same style as an army greatcoat. And the flat peaked cap, which we used to bend the metal in the front to make it the Gestapo. They'll stick it right up, you know, like the... The shoes, there were shoes, you didn't have boots. The shoes were naval type, plain toes, naval type shoes. And I don't think you got any shirts or anything in those days. I can't remember us getting any shirts. That was just what you got. You wore your own shirts. And they were buttoned right up to the neck, because nobody could see you. I think now they get navy blue shirts, pale blue shirts.
Did you have a helmet?
We had a helmet. It was a steel helmet. It was the ordinary army steel helmet. It wasn't the big thing that they have nowadays. They were just army tin hats.
What kind of speed could your van wagon get up to?
Oh, about 50. That was about 50 was what you about as I remember, as far as I remember. There were Austin tenders. They went pretty well, rather loggy, but 50, and pulling this pump as well. Oh, there were, and you had the bell on, of course. Happy days. 17-year-old.
Did you get to any bombed areas at all whilst in the brigade?
No. Most we did at Middlesbrough. We had the steelworks, but I can't remember really going to any blazing streets that you saw in London. Of course, in Barnard Castle, we seldom saw any fires, so we had to be sent out different places. The one we went down first, we went from Barnard Castle, not from Darlington, and we slept above the fire station at Darlington in the room. And then when the bells went over at night, when the fire started, the bells, what we called the bells, went over, we slid down a brass pipe. And when you jumped out of bed, you jumped into your trousers and Wellingtons and everything. Well, you got Wellingtons and wet legs. And that were all in one. So when you put your trousers on, you put your wellies on as well and your wet legs. And just pulled your coat on and your helmet and everything was on the fire engine. And off you went. Minutes, it only took minutes to clear the station.
How long were you with them?
A year. From 17 to 18. And then I went, when I was 18, I went to Leadenhall Street in Darlington and volunteered for the Navy. Two of us. Well, 8 days later, the following Wednesday, I went on a tour, the following Wednesday, 8 days later, I was back at Barnard Castle Station when my mother brought my papers down. Report to the border regiment at Carlisle 8 days later on the Thursday, and she was crying and carrying on, and my boss said, well, if he wants to go, I can't stop him from going. I can't stop him. It's up to him. You know, I can't hold him back. So I want to go. Because I was in the border regiment then for 6 weeks at Carlisle.
So you went up to Carlisle. What was the reception like when you first walked in?
Well, I remember leaving. My stepfather took me. He gave me his razor. I don't know why, because he was an ex-army man. And he took me up to the station, and I travelled up to Carlisle, and walked to the castle and saw the sentry on the gate and asked, "Was this the army, like?" And they said, "Yes, just go through that portcullis thing, and you're in." And again, very, very homesick. Even though I loved the army, and it had no fear for me. Some of the boys couldn't wear a khaki shirt because they were too woolly, and they couldn't wear the army boots because they were too heavy. But I'd been brought up with rough shirts and heavy boots all my life. I knew all the drills and everything, but I was still homesick. But I was away for 6 weeks.
I see, quite a journey. I mean, you'd not been that far before.
Exactly. It was an adventure. I'd left home. Even though I'd wanted to, I could have stayed at home, but I wanted to be off.
So when you walked through those portcullis, as you said, and someone yelled at you army style, what were you feeling?
I don't think they yelled. I can't remember anybody yelling. I think they were very good. And there was a little sergeant who was called Sergeant Payne. He was a Londoner, and he was a little bit bandy-legged. And he took us all under his wing, and some of the Home Guard people that had come straight from the Home Guard, of course, came in the uniform. Some of them lance corporals and sergeants, but of course they had to take the stripes off. And then of course there was each hut were in competition against all the other huts, and we had to be the best hut. Don't think we were, but we had to try. And there's always one person in the hut that does something wrong. He's a bit of a tatty. This particular one wouldn't wash, he wouldn't bath, because he was shy to be in the showers with all. He'd never done it before. It was quite understandable. So we were told that make sure that he did, and that's what we did. That, he was the only chap that we ever found that liked that. All through my army life, I never found anybody that stole or was a bully or anything. I found all the chaps I met were absolutely first class.
You've just answered two or three of my questions to come. Can we stick to your initial experiences with the army and the training with the border regiment?
Yes.
You went to the castle, and were the billets in the castle?
No, they weren't. They were outside. They were just down outside the castle walls in a little compound called Bitts Park, BIWTS, Bitts Park. And I think there was five huts, and then there was the office, and there was a gymnasium and a guard room. And I always remember the first night we were on guard. The corporal in charge wore long johns, you know, the under thing. Well, when he took his trousers off, he looked like a little pixie, a little gnome with his thing, and with his stockings on, and we all burst out laughing, and we nearly got put under charge for making. We just couldn't help ourselves, but it was just outside the castle. But we passed out after the 6 weeks. We had to go into the big castle square, and pass our passing out parade. There was no family invited or anything. It was just a matter of going on Saturday morning, passing out. But the first week that we spent in the army, we hardly had our clothes on. We were examined, and teeth and everything, and injections. And we got 2 days off for TET and another 2 days off for having a TAB injection. Now, you don't get any time off. But in those days, you got 2 days. And it laid you out on your bed. You were in dire straits for 2 days.
So you suffered yourself with them?
Oh, everybody did. You were all laid out. We were told to go back and get into bed. 2 days, dreadful. Couldn't even go for your meals.
What was your accommodation like? Can you describe the billets that you were in?
There were wooden huts. There was 40 to a hut. And there was 10 double-tier bunks. And the double-tier bunks, the mattress was wire, was a wire base, and the mattress on top of that was a palliasse filled, in which we went and filled with straw in the gymnasium, in the Conlon gymnasium. They put some straw, and we went and filled our paillasses up, and we got four blankets. It was winter, it was the 2nd of October. So with it being winter, we went and got four blankets issued. And all our kit, of course, was thrown at you, and you had to look after it. And if you lost it, you pay for the one you've lost, and you pay for the one you have to replace it with.
And so did you get your uniform immediately?
No, we didn't. No, I think it was, as near as I can remember, it was about the second or third day. It was certainly didn't get them the first day or the second day. I think it was the third day. I got there about midday on the first day, and it wasn't the next day, it was the day after, when we had a uniform parade and we got issued with all our kit. We got some kit, knives and forks and things like that, but we didn't get... So we had to train in our civilian clothes.
I've jumped ahead a little bit myself. Still on the accommodation, you say the hut held 40. What was the heating in the hut?
The heating was a stove, a pot-bellied stove, with a spout going up through the ceiling, and coal, and on a concrete surround that was painted white. And nobody dare light the stove because it was to clean, and it was sort of highly polished black, like painted black. Well, if you lit it, you had a hell of a job to get it cleaned. So I can't ever remember that stove ever being lit.
So it must have been quite cold then as the winter moved in.
It probably was, because I remember we had PT at 6:30 every morning, and I remember the frost in October, and we were there till mid-November. We ran about, we did PT, and we did our acrobatics, and that was a tough thing. The vaulting horses and things, you had it to do. Some couldn't manage it. Some take it in the stride, some don't. But I never had any difficulty. I wasn't. Some of them were really marvellous, could do all kinds. I was just average and got through all right. It's the ones that are not like the others that suffer in the army, I think. If you're a little bit different from anyone else, then I think you suffer a bit.
Did you have lockers to keep your things in?
I think we must have had, but I can't remember. I can't remember any lockers. But I think we must have had.
How did you keep the billet clean?
Well, we just had the sweeping brush, you know, and that was it. We swept out on the morning. I don't remember us ever scrubbing the floor or anything like that. You had to dust all the windowsills, because they used to come along and put the fingers along the windowsill to see if there was any, the framework of the window, to see if there was any dust. And the windows had to be clean, and the floor swept. And of course your bed had to be made up exactly. Your three blankets had to be folded, and your fourth blanket round it, and then your mess tins had to be laid. So probably we didn't have lockers. Your stuff was on your bed. Your mess tins were laid open, upside down. Your boots were at the bottom of the bed, highly polished, and your knife and fork and spoon were laid out, and your towel was laid over your blankets at the top. It's a long time ago, but I can remember putting your towel over your blankets. They all had to be exactly the same.
And we were inspected every day?
Oh, I think so, yes. When you went out on parade, you were always inspected by the Sergeant Payne, because it was, you, as he said, you're letting me down and you're letting yourself down. And we don't want any black marks against us, otherwise we'll not win the trophy or whatever it was. Sergeant Payne, marvellous little chap.
And as you say, there was this rivalry between the huts.
Oh, yes, very much, very much.